You can get 3 months of The Spectator for just £15, plus a free bottle of Paul Roger champagne if you go to spectator.co.uk/fizz24. This offer is UK only and subject to availability.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast, though we are going to be winding down slightly soon for the Christmas break. And I'm delighted to be joined by Kate Andrews and none other than Freddie Gray, who's graced us with his presence from the Americano podcast. Thanks, Freddie.
Yep, special Christmas treat for you.
Such a treat. Now, Kate, before we get on to Elon Musk, Labour donation rules and what might happen, we've had some news on rates. Can you talk us through?
Well, this is not a Christmas treat, I'm sorry to say. The Bank of England has decided to hold rates at 4.75% rather than opt for another small cut, which would have taken the base rate down to about 4.5%. I must say this is not surprising after the labor market data we got this week showing that wages are up, and after the inflation update we got this week showing that inflation is slightly higher than the bank and others had predicted it would be at this point in the cycle. It was very, very likely that the bank was going to hold the base rate, and it was also likely because they did a small interest rate cut in November. And the bank has been very clear throughout this whole process since they started cutting rates that it's going to be a slow and steady one. Not the best news for those who have mortgages, not the best news for the country, and certainly not the best news for the government, which is desperate to see this base rate go down, not least because, as we talked about on the podcast yesterday, borrowing costs are higher than anticipated. Rachel Reeves's budget is more expensive than anticipated. The UK is spending tens of billions of pounds just servicing the debt. They really need this headline figure to go down.
And no easy break when it comes to those looking to renew mortgages next year at the moment.
No easy break. I mean, it's better than it was, but that's not saying much.
Now,
Liz Truss.
That's the kind of 2022.
That's the kind of insight which means we should get you on this more. Thank you, Freddie.
Aren't gilt yields higher than they were under Liz Truss?
Yeah. The ten-year gilt, I think, is a little bit higher than at the peak of Truss.
Do you think that's Rachel Reeves' fault?
I think we should
blame Kate, our economics editor.
Who should we blame? I think that list is probably very, very long, actually, Katie. What I would say is that I think under both governments, there's been slight miscalculation, although clearly under Liz Truss, there was a bit more miscalculation. Liz Truss decided to go on a spend and borrowing spree just as interest rates were climbing all over the world. Rachel Reeves decided to borrow plenty more money as rates are starting to come down slightly, but clearly the government did not expect that investors would demand as much as they are demanding to keep lending to the UK. That has made that budget more expensive, not to the point where someone's had to come in and reverse it all. This is where you go, Jeremy Hunt. Good one. The insight we're looking for, but definitely causing more headaches for the Labour government than anticipated.
Now, the other big story today when it comes to Labour plans is whether or not the Labour government will limit political donations from companies owned by foreigners. And of course, the context for this is the fact that it looks as though Elon Musk is at the very least pondering a fairly large donation, maybe not the 100 million initially floated, perhaps more tens of millions, to the Reform Party. Now, Nigel Farage and Nick Candy, the new Reform Treasurer, met with Elon Musk this week in Mar-a-Lago. I think they feel quite boosted by that, though, of course, nothing's quite through the line. There's also a question. I mean, some on the Reform side insist they were never the ones putting this out, and whether it's Tories or Labour saying, oh, Elon Musk might give Reform money and that's a bad thing. They've almost set the wheels in motion now for donation, which could help the Reform Party and actually cause their critics a bunch of problems. Freddie, you've written about this on Coffee House, the idea that Labour might clamp down on the rules around this. It's worth pointing out that even if they did decide to do this, it wouldn't really come into effect until 2026. And also there is a risk of looking as though they are gaming the system and there's a donation they don't like.
Yeah, I find this story a bit strange because, I mean, if you're minded to view the world as Nigel Farage views the world, and that there is a kind of uniparty in Britain that is suffocating the country and a kind of political class that will not allow itself to be changed or reformed, then it is a bit odd that they seem to make this tremendous fuss about Elon Musk possibly giving money to Reform, which is still a small party, you know, it has five MPs. Whereas, you know, there's a lot of money in politics and there's a lot of money in British politics and a lot of sucking up to foreign groups and entities. I think of Keir Starmer and BlackRock. He invited Larry Fink to Downing Street and bent the knee. And nobody of the commentary that got so excited about Elon Musk, you know, kind of potentially buying up British politics, nobody bats an eyelid, really, about, apart from a few nutters and Reform supporters on Twitter. I think there's a sort of hypocrisy there. And I think, you know, people only care about money in politics if it benefits politicians they dislike.
Yeah, Kate, where do you sit on this? Because I think that when you think about Keir Starmer's efforts to boost Labour, I wrote a cover onto the magazine, I think, last year, you know, to get big money donors back so they were less reliant on the unions. And some of those donors were not British nationals and they gave really large sums of money and it was less of a problem now. Now, maybe a £1 million donation is not quite the same as a £20 million donation, but there's still a principle there, which is if you are willing to take money from some foreign donors, why can't Nigel Farage take more? Do you think, is it different if the donor is, you know, officially involved in a political party and government in another country?
Well, I think that you have to be consistent to your point about principle there. Perhaps you can say that the different sums of money are what fundamentally changed this, but you can't help but get a sense that they're upset about the person in question, not necessarily the sum in question. Although I suppose if you're any political party and your opponent's about to get £100 million or dollars or whatever it's going to be, you're probably not thrilled about that news either way. I just think that this is a story for everybody. Everybody can get upset in the right way that suits them and their base. So the left can get very upset with this idea that you would have not just foreign interference, but American interference. And it feeds into, you know, frankly, what the ridiculous claims that anybody is looking to say by the NHS or, you know, by British institution, you know, this won't be huge news to our listeners, but nobody wants to buy the National Health Service. This suits Reform incredibly well. And I think that it suits the right more generally in the sense that I think there's a frustration sometimes on the right in the UK that you don't get the same kinds of characters that you might get in American politics, that you don't, you know, Elon Musk not being included in the investment summit, for example, and people are just like, why are we being so anti-entrepreneurship and all the rest of it? So I think it suits them, and it certainly suits Nigel Farage, who's getting a lot of attention for a potential donation, which has not happened yet, may never happen, but would suggest that the momentum that he gained in the election could be significantly bigger than anybody ever saw coming even just a couple of months ago. So everyone likes to talk about this story because it suits them.
And just finally, Freddie, if you are an insurgent party that is trying to smash the two-party system, if Labour, as looks to be the case, mean that putting rules around local council elections because they're combining councils, which means some don't take place next year, some Reform are campaigning on, and if they do start to clamp down donations in the midst of this, it does run the risk that Keir Starmer will just be playing into the hands of Nigel Farage's narrative.
I do think on the Conservative side it's pretty interesting, given that the Conservative Party are pretty close to broke, as far as I understand it, and Kemi Badenoch is desperately trying to get donors who don't particularly like her to come back.
I mean, they've been saying, you've had Andrew Griffiths, the minister, out today saying, not don't allow him to do this money, but Elon, think about giving some money to us instead.
Yes. Yeah, it all feels pretty desperate, doesn't it? I mean, British politics always pretends that money isn't a factor, but it obviously is, and it always is in democracies anywhere. And sort of any attempt to pretend that it isn't is naive or disingenuous.
Thank you, Freddie. Thank you, Kate. And thank you for listening.